Kama Zayin. Daf Kofir Aleph in the new version of Sesechein. So this is called Mitzvah Halayla. And there's a lot, mamash a lot in this piece. He takes many sugyas and he puts it into one chapter. It's a miyut machzik meruba. So we'll go along, we'll see what we're going to be able to touch on. And I'm not sure what we're going to highlight. Maybe we'll see the whole thing. You know, Sa'at HaDishmai, we'll be able to say Zohar Nechonim Bruim. So he begins here, Mikol Madei Uzmane Hashana, Ein Lach Hazman, Kmo B'Lel Pesach, Sha'oisin Kol Kach Pulos Shana Zemizu. There's not another time during the year where we do so many pu'ulos, so many ma'isim, actions, diburim, which are soise one another, pu'ulos hafchios. Shechelik mehem morin al shibur kasha ma'oid, shechelik mehem morin al chiris ha'muflag. I'm not sure if you ever noticed this, but at the night of the Seder, we do some ma'isim which reflect, represent, symbolize ge'ula, and others which represent, symbolize shibur. You ever notice that, Yosef? And he's gonna speak those out. I mean, there's Maror, which is Shibud, there's Karpas, which is Shibud, there's Matzah, which is Chayrus, there's Yain, which is Chayrus, and in fact, I have a Haggadah at home, which has 238 Purushim in it. Now, not all, you know, in one book, but basically over the course of the Sefer, across the Haggadah, he quotes 238 different Sfarim. And some repeats. I was told once that other than Chamishi Chumshei Torah, there are more Mefarshim on the Haggadah than any other Jewish Sefer.
Sure.
Huh?
Maybe for the other, probably not.
Yeah? There's a reason for that. It's not for now. 6, 3, 1, 3, 5. So, we see there's a lot of steers. So, what's that all about? We can explain this. When we explain and understand the difficult tzara, the shiva that we were in, terrible. You were being overcome in the high heavens. So too it was down here. Getting to the point now. He's setting something up. He started with the steerers. We're going to get back to that later. And he's beginning by saying that this wasn't just a spiritual servitude. Everything has a physical servitude. Everything has a spiritual root. And that means that in Shemayim, in Pnimius HaNyanim, there was something which was the cause of the physical shibud. This is a very important lekach in terms of life, because many times we look at what's going on in the Gashmias as being the Siba, when it's really just the Simen. That's the relationship between Pnimius and Chitzonius. Chitzonius is tefillah to the Pnimius, because Pnimius is the real score. Pnimius is telling us what's really happening. Chitzonius, many times, is just a byproduct of what's taking place in the Pnimius. For example, if a person goes to a doctor and he has some type of a skin issue, he has eczema, something along those lines. So I go to the dermatologist, okay, put some cream on it. Okay, you can put on cream your whole life. You're not addressing the root issue. It has nothing to do with a skin. It has to do with something which is in your diet or something else, which is causing it to surface on the skin. But the skin is chitzonius. Inside the body is pnimius. So you can't truly address a chitzonius issue by dealing with the chitzonius. You want to get to the core, you have to deal with the pnimius. And Chazal say, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you have to get to its shayrish. Shayrish is its premius. So we can't look at Shiba Mitzrayim and say that because of this, this, and that, that's why B'nai Yisrael are in Mitzrayim. And that's where the Shibud is so kasha. Of course, part of it has to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, when he said, B'ma'idah, by the Bris Menam B'saim, he said already it's been Nigzah that there's going to be a Shibud to your children. So anybody who's in Mitzrayim, he's looking at the Shibud, he's saying what's going on. If he doesn't know historically what happened in the Bais Mitzrayim, so he's certainly not telling what's going on. So he's going to get together with the Zakenim, and they're going to diagnose the issue, and they're going to say, oh, maybe it's because we're not living in the right place, or somebody spoke to Paro and he said something which was a little bit off, or we're not doing enough to get to know the Mitzrayim better. All those things, they backfire. Because the klal is that the more that we get closer to the Goyim, the more that, like this Sfarim say, if we don't make Kiddush, then they make Avdallah. The Goyim make Avdallah. If we're not with Kaddish ourselves, then they make Avdallah. They make sure that we're separate from them. So we need to understand the root. What was the reason that the Shibu was taking place? So he explains, even he's got Perusam Haya, how this happened, and again, he's going through many sugyas very quickly, squeezing it all in. Ki Paro HaRasha is Osios HaOyref. That's what the Ari says. Paro is the letter is HaOyref, which means the back of the neck. And he comes to teach us, says the Ari, Yinikasu Hayisim Ebechinas Das Teklipa. We know that the neck is the place of the Das. And whatever there is in the Kedusha, there's also in the Tumma. And the rise of Paro against Bnei Yisrael means a hisgabrus of the Das Teklipa. Haimedis Neges Hadas Tekedusha Shemekarma Ba'erev, which challenges the Das Tekedusha, which we know is Moshe. Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Moshe is the Inyan of Das, which is why Moshe leads in the Mevor the Dor Hadeya. The people of Moshe is called the Dor Hadeya, the Dor of Das, because they were Makabal Torah, Ataharesa Ladas. And what is that Das? Ki Havaya Huhu Elikim. And as we're going to see, Mit Hashem, again, I don't know if we're really going to see, so I'm just going to speak it out now a little bit, because there's a lot. I don't remember exactly what he has and where he puts it. But the Das in Mitzrayim was the Das of the Shem Elokim. And as the Zohar explains, that at the beginning of Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, at least right before Yitzias Mitzrayim, or the Shiva Mitzrayim, was Yosef in Mitzrayim. Now, if you follow the trail of Yosef in Mitzrayim, the different people that he meets, the interactions which he has, the Zohar notes that he always refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Shem Elokim, not once the Shem Havaya. Although it says Vayehi Havaya Yosef, it says Havaya many times by Yosef, but that was in Yosef's private world that he went with Havaya. But Mitzrayim was not a place that he could speak about Havaya. Only the Shem Elokim. So when it comes to Paro, and Paro says, "I hear good things about you. You can interpret dreams. Tell me, Saprali Halil Elokim Pisronim." God was called Elokim as Pisronim. So the Zohar says that when Moshe comes to Paro, and Moshe says, the God of the Jews has sent me to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he appears to him with the Shem Havaya, Paro says, Le'yadati is Havaya. And the Medrash is very specific about this. The Medrash says that Paro opened up the Book of Gods. It's a Medrash. And he says, I've heard of many gods, look down the list, doesn't see anywhere Havaya. He said he's the God of the Jewish people. There was a Joseph here, he said nothing about Havaya. Only he said the Shem Elokim. And you're telling me you know better than him? Yosef was Tzafnas Paneach, he knew much more than you. Who are you? So because of that, Paro didn't believe in the Shem Havaya, only in the Shem Elokim. So the role of Moshe Rabbeinu is L'manteida Kiani Havaya, repeatedly in Mitzrayim. Moshe is supposed to reveal Havaya to be Megala, the Pnimius, which is Havaya, because we know that Elokim is considered to be a Chitzonius of the Shem Havaya. Hateva we know is Gematria Elokim. And Havaya is how Hashem reveals Himself in Torah. Anechi Havaya Elokecha, Hashar Yisesicha Meretz Yitzrayim. The Yitzir from Mitzrayim is called Anechi Havaya Elokecha. That your God, who is Elokecha, Elokim, is really Havaya. And the way that could be broken down is as follows. Elokim is Hateva because Elokim is the shame of Din, it's the shame of Katnus, whereas Havaya is the shame of Godless. How we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Teva is one thing. But how we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Torah is something completely else. Ad kadei kach, that whatever Havana we had of the Bar Yerolam through the Teva, which is great because Hashem created the world in a way that we should be able to understand Him, al kopanim, somewhat. But once there's a gili of Torah in the veld, then the Havana which we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad that He has a Shem Elokim is completely bottled on tafel to His galus through Torah. And that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in Har Sinai and He said, Anechi Havaya Lakecha Asher Yitzesicha Meretz Mitzrayim, It means that it took you out of this, what is now chitzonius understanding of me, and I brought you to a place of an understanding of me from a place of gadlus, which is called Havaya. This das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should be known as Havaya, is in Galus and B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim. That's called the Galus Adas. Ataharis l'adas ki Havaya hu elokim. That das, which Moshe will bring B'nai Yisrael Har Sinai. So let's continue. This place at the back of the neck is the Makom Kesher HaTfilin. I will explain that in a moment, why Dafka the Kesher HaTfilin. And Giri expands this and says that just as Paro is the Osios HaOyef, which is the back of the neck, there's more of a Klolius type of a Gullus, which is the Gullus of Mitzrayim. Because the Gullus of Paro and the Gullus of Mitzrayim are two different things. Like we say, Avadim HaYinu, the Paroi v'Mitzrayim. So two separate things Giri explains. There's Klipas Paro, which is the Oyref, and then there's Klipas Mitzrayim, which is the Garam. Spiritually, Mitzrayim rested on Nishmas Yisrael, which is that place around the neck area, throat, as if something is lodged into the throat and not allowing the air, the oxygen, to come through, strangling B'nai Yisrael spiritually in Mitzrayim. Now, why Dafka the Kesher Shel Tefillin? He's going to explain in the next paragraph, so we'll let him speak. We'll just be Mazra a little bit, Dafka the Tefillin. We see that there's a connection between Tefillin and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in Parshas Boy, where we have the Inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Parsha concludes with the Mitzvah of Tefillin. It tells us that Jews have to wear Totafos, Mantia Toras Hashem Beficha. And we know inside the Tefillin is the parashas of Shema. Kadesh, V'hayak V'yacha. These are the association between Tefillin and Yetzias Mitzrayim.
If Moshe taught Klal Yisrael that Hashem is, that Elikim is Avaya, then why did Hashem only show him the back of the Tefillin and not the front?
I mean, when he showed him that, you mean?
Yeah, later on, he wanted to see Avaya. If he was the one who taught Klal Yisrael that Hashem, that Elikim is Avaya, he taught Paro, the world that Hashem is, that Elikim is Avaya, why would Hashem only show him the back of the film?
So you're assuming now that the back is, let's say, Elikim and the front is Avaya? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
you're saying?
That's what I thought you were going.
So not really. Not going that direction, no. Because really, the Sfarim say that the reason why Hashem told Moshe, V'ra'isa Sacharai, you can only see my back, is because you really can only always see Hashem's back. For every gilui which a person has in the Ribono Shel Olam, it's always considered to be an achar, not considered to be a pun. But we're gonna go a little bit different. We're not gonna stick so much to this inyan of Kesher Shel Tefillin. I'm just wanted to bring Tefillin in for the purpose that when we put on Tefillin, we're mamshech das. Spiritually, the Ari explains that putting on Tefillin is putting on Moichin. It's like, I don't know what's a good mashal for this, but it's like taking some type of a lahavdil, like some type of an energy band, brain band, putting it onto the head, and then it has this huge explosion of Moichin, which literally transforms the person. And Ari has a whole system of Shemas HaKadoshim, which represents that. So the reason why Tefillin best represents Yetzias Mitzrayim is because Yetzias Mitzrayim is a galus of das, and what Tefillin represents is an infusion of das. And every single day when we wear Tefillin, of course we say Kriyashma, that's the Ikar Chiyuv when wearing Tefillin, is to say Kriyashma. And Kriyashma has a Zeich of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So really, by wearing Tefillin and going through the Seder HaTefillah, and the Seder HaTefillah is also an infusion of das, that's what Tefillah is, as the Ari explains it. It's not just that a person makes his requests. Tefillah, al pi pnimius ha-Torah, is a transformation of the person from being in a state of gullus into being a state of gula. That his karbis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that moment of Hashem HaSos HaTiftach, and then a person comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the standing panim upon him with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered to be the ikar ha-Tefillah, not the request. It's what happens when a person is mamshach das, where he goes from there, what happens to him. And since every single davening is really a seder of going from galus to geula, through this connection, what's called this das, so that's why the whole seder hatfila is one where we are always mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, but specifically that jump into Shmona Esrei from Kriya Shema is called Smichas Geula L'Tfila. And we mentioned it has to be through Zeich Yetzias Mitzrayim, because every single day there's a nakuda of Yetzias Mitzrayim through this previous understanding. Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just that you go from a place called Mitzrayim to a place called Eretz Yisrael or into the Midbar. That's not really what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Yetzias Mitzrayim has nothing to do with place. It's nothing to do with time. It has to do with das. And since that's what tefillin represents, and the kesher shel tefillin will attach the head to the rest of the body, that's why it's called kesher shel tefillin. Let's continue. He explains. V'yadua shebechinas hadas hu hamekasher esamochin shebirush al hamidah shebegof. There's chachma, bina, and das. Chachma and bina are the ikar mochin. And das is really a bridge which connects chachma and bina to the lower part of the body, which is the rest of the spheros. Chesed, gvur, tiferes, netzach, hod, yisod, and malchus. That's das. So das is interesting. It's this bridge between the moichin and the midos. It's a makasher. That's why the Torah says that a zivug between ish v'isha is called a das. Vayeda adam eschav ishta. Because when there's a connection of zachar and akeva, shamayim va'aretz, the moichin with the midos, that's all a relationship between zachar and akeva. So what does that, what's poil, that is called a das.
Is that why it's in the neck?
That's why it's the neck. Let's continue. That's what he says. That's why it's the neck. Ach kasher nechna kagorn like the par mitzrayim. So when the neck is cut off, the throat is cut off. Lo yachlu ar hamayichin shaberuish lispashi lahar l'sech haguf. So then the mayichin can't penetrate, enter into the guf, which is the midas hakdoshes. So vaydezeh nigun lemata shenech shchoneim shal Yisrael. This is what causes the spiritual demise of Bnei Yisrael. Vaylam hazeh tachashibur par mitzrayim atchenafu tachasaklipo l'tayich. That's what caused Bnei Yisrael to go so low. Because everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being mashpia to Bnei Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forsake his children no matter where they are, even in Golas Hashem is being mashpia. But if you have Paro, Mitzrayim was situated themselves in a way where they're robbing the Shefa, they're robbing it. So then what happens is that you could be sending, you know, wiring to somebody's bank account tons of money every month, but if there's somebody who's hacking in and taking it, so then you're giving the money, but he's not getting it, it's not helping him. And that's what was happening spiritually.
You said before that the Torah is das.
Yeah.
But when it says Mitzrayim, there still was no Torah for 7 more weeks.
Yeah.
So it was like this like in-between period.
Right. So what we're going to see, maybe, is that on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down a Ha'ara of Torah into Mitzrayim, which was like Shalei Kefi Seder HaHishnashlus, which is abnormal. It wasn't the true Seder HaDvarim, which was necessary in order to kind of pummel Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and to get on track, to come to Torah. So Torah is a Gilei Chamishim Yom. But yet we say about Yetzias Mitzrayim, V'chamushim alu Bnei Yisrael Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi Tayyar says Chamushim Mizuyonim, that they were armed. That's obviously a very pashup shot. But the way the Pinyas learns Chamushim is, no, Chamushim is a Lashon Chamishim. What do Chamishim Alu B'nai Yisrael answers? I mean, they didn't leave after Chamishim. Chamishim is 50 days later. No, but there was a Ha'ara of Yom HaChamishim on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why, although there's a Seder of Sfira from day one of Yetzias Mitzrayim all the way to Yom HaChamishim, but it's considered to be higher than the Pratim. Meaning, we don't count the first night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We only start counting Ha'omer the second. And we also don't count the 50th. So we're not counting the first, we're not counting the 50th. Why? Because we don't say about that it's a Prat. Really, everything, just like Chamishim is Koil everything, what came down on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim was everything. All the Iris of Shavuos came down on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But because Bnei Yisrael weren't yet Zeichet to those Iris, because they hadn't worked for it, which is what Tzvias Ha'omer is all about, so that's why Hashem said, nobody's allowed to leave their houses. Everybody has to stay inside. Because the Gilib, which was Nisgal and Mitzrayim, they didn't have the Kalim to be Mekabal because it was too hard. We only have the Kalim to be Mekabal, this Or called Chamishim, through counting each and every night of the Sfira, so that we have now the Kalim to be Mekabel it by Shavuos time. So this is what he's going to explain now. But Pa'ifin Prati. V'hine k'di l'higoyam l'klipa zu, to bake this klipa, nitzach l'har l'mato ar ha'gadol shal ha'dal ha'meichin k'v'yasei d'arroi. I'm not sure whether to focus on this or not. Maybe we'll just kind of go through it. Because this is a very Kabbalish inyan, and he brings it here. I'm not sure why, because it's not brought down so much as far as I've seen in the Chassidish Sfarim. So we're not going to spend much time on it. So he says here that the Meichin are called Katnas Rishon, Godless Rishon, Katnas Sheni, and Godless Sheni. So for all 49 days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, each one of the nights of Sfira will correspond to one of these Meichin. Basically the way it works is that the 7 weeks of Sfira correspond to what the Ari says are 7 midos called Chabad Chagatam, which is Chachma Bina Das, Chesed Gvura Tiferes and Malchus. Those are the 7 weeks of Sfira. And each one of those weeks has its own set of what's called Katnas Rishon, Katnas Sheni, Godless Rishon, Godless Sheni, and different variations of that. And so the only I mentioned 4, it turns out to be 7 somehow. Okay? So that means every night of Sfira, we're tapping in to another version of either Katnas Rishon, Katnas Sheni, Godless Rishon, or Godless Sheni. However, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the night of the first night of Seder, everything comes down all at once. Which is a huge nes. That doesn't happen. Never happens. The reason why that was necessary is because the klipa of Mitzrayim was so heavy, so thick, that Kadosh Baruch Hu needed to break it. In order to break it, he had to come down with a very strong thrust and force in order to break that klipa. That's what the Ari explains. Huh? That's called that, yeah. That's like Yad HaChazaka, yeah. Very, very forceful, powerful hand in order to break Klipas Mitzrayim. So he gives a mashal. When a child is born, he's born with some basic intellect. That's what's called a Meichin Dekatnas, like a Katan. He has basic human tendencies. But as he gets older and he's able to do more functions, as I smeich him across Hashem Yisrael Kamagado, we see that he's growing up, and there's a simich in that. That's called Godless Rishon. The Kvishnei is Nikra Godless, Yeshlo Meichin the Godless. So now, what was Meichin the Kanas, this you can call somewhat of Meichin the Godless. And then Kashem is Godless Yoisir, Bob Bishanim, Medamin, and Mesaik, Bodim Godless, and Bamasho Katnas Sheni. He may come into a step, maybe in like an adolescence, where he'll be called Katnas Sheni. Right? I have teenagers. Shalagabi Matsavu Yeshlo Rak Meichin the Katnas. The Kashem is Godless Yoisir, Magilo, and Meichin the Godless Bishleimas. So this is just a mashal bi'alma to help us understand what it means. Just like a person grows up, begashmias, begof, his das is being this gadol with him. So too spiritually, a person is supposed to grow in his understanding of life and things and the Baruch Shalom and Torah, midos, as he goes along in his life. And each step is its own Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is what we talked about before. That true Meichin the Godless is not, you know, what's Einstein's theory? MC squared?
Relativity.
Relativity? Yeah, theory of relativity. Yeah? What is it?
E equals MC squared.
I haven't heard that in so many years. That's not Meichin the Godless. That's not Jewish Meichin the Godless. Meichin the Godless is that's Meichin the Godless. The more that a person understands the Ribbono Shel Olam, the purpose of creation, begin the Shemayim L'Olam, Hashem wants to be known, the Zohar says, that is Meichin the Godless. Muna HaTahira Shel B'nei Yisrael. Shekol Echad Yodeo U'makir Shashem Yisborach Hayohay V'V'yiyah Mekhava Kol Havayas V'chol HaNemtzayim V'ein Oyl Movadai ומזה מאיר השם הוויה ברוך הוא, וזהו תכלס סעיף המדרגס הנקרא גד לשני. So this or this idea that Ribbono Shel Olam came flying into Mitzrayim to break this klipa of Mitzrayim, that's what took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The Gili of Havaya. The Havayti Beretz Mitzrayim, Hashem says, I came into Mitzrayim. V'chomo Yishu B'tzias Ha'olam Shein U'mizgadlo B'pamachas Rak Nimshach Zman Shal Esrim Shana L'zgadlo K'b'seder Shalkanos Rishin Negalos Rishin Akkanos Shein Negalos Sheini. There's a lifetime of growth. So too with the Yitzir of the Ummah of Yisrael, that they were Nizgadlo B'hadraga, they were Mekabal D'meichin La'at La'at. When we left Mitzrayim, in the moment of Mitzrayim, we were infused with tremendous godless of Meichin, and then it all went away. And then, as we traveled in the Midbar, so we grew each and every day. How do we grow? Through eating the man, through Nami HaKavod, by being exposed to Moshe. There were many ways. Drinking the Be'er of Miriam. Hashem was, as the Sfarim say, He was nursing us, nurturing us like a mother does to her child. So the Sfarim explained like this. Leaving Mitzrayim is considered to be a Leida. Leidas B'nei Yisrael. Amzul Yatzar Tili. B'nei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. It was the birth of the Jewish people. Then in the Midbar, Hashem gave us man in the same way that a mother nurses her children. That's why the Torah says that the man was like kalavan. It was like white. It was white like chalav. And then when B'nei Yisrael came to Matan Torah, Tar Sinai, so it was a meichin to godless. That they grew up. But kozman that they were in the Midbar, dahainu for those 50 days, and even subsequent, because of the Cheta Egel, where they had the man, it was the beginning of the creation of the Jewish people, and those years, those many years that Bnei Yisrael had man in the Midbar, are equivalent to, if you take a look at Klal Yisrael for the past 4,000 years, the equivalent of that is that for those 40 years, we are like, you know, the 2 years that a mother nurses her child. And then after that, you know, she weans the child and then you say, but when the mother nurses the child, it's not just that the mother is giving the child food to eat. The mother is giving the child everything which he needs. Everything which he needs spiritually, physically, in terms of his meichin, it's a man. It's the mother who was sustaining this child in the stomach. So now there's a period for 2 years where the child is outside the mother, where it's outside the mother, but it's considered to still be inside the mother. But it's the transition period, these years, of outside the mother from within. But it's like, now the child is outside, but very much within. That's why it's so important, if you know, we know how to have a lot of mothers in the room, but for mothers to nurse their children, it's you cannot replace it. It doesn't matter. Whatever it's called, Enfamil. It's mamish ein odaima. It's so important that don't listen to your doctors if they tell you it's good for your schedule for the. It's not worth it. Don't be mavater at it at all. And mothers, as much as possible, they should sleep with their children when they're young. Not to try to put them very quickly in other beds and other rooms and this and that. Children need the security for the first 2 years because they don't know the world. They feel very abandoned very quickly. And they need to know for their whole life that they have the security that their parents will always be by them, and they acquire that over the first 2 years. Very important. You have to see the first 2 years as if the child is still in the mother. Yeah, Marsha, I'm sorry, we're going to go ahead. You had a question? Oh, no?
No, I was just saying, in my head that it's, you know, a little too late. I think you're really reminding me.
Val Kane Kishahayu Bnei Yisrael Bashibit Hakasha Bachemu Bilavinim Shahdas Bagalas Yudos Hashem Klal. When Bnei Yisrael was in Mitzrayim and they didn't know Hashem at all, that was called Katnas Risha. And like we said, that's the Shem Elokim, which is Hateva, that you can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't have a Hasaga of the Shem Havaya, because Hashem is hiding. And then there's the whole Seder of Hadraga. Fine, we're going to skip these paragraphs. I'm going to go to the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin. L'chein migoydol avas Hashem Yisbarach li'Yisrael amkarevoy, v'leman hoken es divaro hatoyi v'sher nishba l'avisinu, dilig al ha-seder u'pasach al ha-pasach. V'er lehem tekef or godol v'nifla, v'pesa pisoim, es ha-or ha-godol shal meichin d'gad l'sheini, mipni ribe ha-or ha-nifla shal v'pesa b'mihiras. Basically, what the Ari explains is that although the Seder of Meichin as it comes in has to be katnas before godless, that's how we evolve, is first katnas and then godless. In order to take B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim, it wouldn't have been enough for Hashem to bring down the Oiris in that Seder of katnas and then godless. Hashem brought down Meichin the godless first. And that's why it's called Pesach, which is a Lashon Diluk, Al Pi Kabbalah. This is how the Ari teaches it. That normally there's a Seder of Meichin, katnas and godless, but here Hashem reversed it. And he brought in the godless and then the katnas. That's the nes.
Skipped over the katnas.
So that's the nes of Pesach. The nes of Pesach is not so much that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. On a spiritual level, it was that there's a seder, there's a chayk in the oilamas. There's a chayk. They have to follow a certain rules, just like we follow rules down here, the rules up there. So Hashem broke the rules. He broke the rules in order to save B'nai Yisrael, and he brought down godless before katnas. Now for us, we're like, okay, you know, we don't know anything about that, so it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. But if you're living in the higher oilamas, anybody who was watching that was like, their mouths open. They were like, what? Can't believe such a thing happened. But it says a lot about Hashem's love for B'nai Yisrael. Because if you could break the rules, all the rules of the world, all the worlds of reality, spiritual reality, in order to save B'nai Yisrael from its time, that must mean that B'nai Yisrael is really the Tachlis of B'riah. Veracious Vishal Yisrael. So that's why Yitzias Mitzrayim was a moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megale to all the Oilemus, that all of Teva, physical Teva and spiritual Teva, has to bend for B'nai Yisrael. Because if I went out of my way, that I went down all the way to Mitzrayim, which also breaks rules, and I changed the Meichin from Godless and Katnas, what comes first, what comes second, in order to do this for B'nai Yisrael, it was a precedent forever, that when it comes to Hatzalas B'nai Yisrael, everything has to bend. And that's why when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf is considered to be, although separate in a different nes, it's considered to be a Hemshech of Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is why it's one Yantif. You call it Pesach, and it's really called Leil Shvi Yishol Pesach, which connects to Yom Rishon Shol Pesach. Why? Why can't you make two different Yantifs out of that? When it comes to Sukkot, there's the first day of Sukkot, which is the Yantiv, and the eighth day is Atzeres. It's a different Yantiv. Regal B'fniyatsa, the Gemara says. But when it comes to Shvi Yishol Pesach, it's Pesach. Everybody agrees it's Pesach. And why is it called Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach? Teretz is because the dealing which Hashem did on the night of Mitzrayim was the limud for where the Yam learned that it also had to bend in order to B'nai Yisrael out. So that's why Nisan is a Lashon Neis, and it's considered to be the Shorish of all Nisa Yisrael. All the Nisim tap into the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because we learn from there Kal Vachomer to everywhere else, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he was over al HaSeder, himself kevyachal, and especially viz chukei shemayim v'aretz, the Hainu, the Meichin of Katnas and Galus, to rearrange that Seder, so everything has to bend for B'nai Yisrael. That's why Yitzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental to Torah, that we even find that Rashi has a happening. The Torah should begin, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It should begin with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everything has to bend for B'nai Yisrael. Even the Zman has to bend for B'nai Yisrael.
I just had a thought. It seems like after that revelation of Yitzias Mitzrayim, went back to Katnas HaRishon in the Midbar, because we just couldn't get ourselves together, and we had the Mon like the mother. And it says in the Gemara that the Mal teaches us Torah, which is Das, in the womb, which would bring us back to the Katnas HaRishon. So does the cycle go from...
That would have been the Egel, that we went back to Katnas HaRishon.
Right.
Because...
I guess my question is, does the cycle go back to the beginning, when we're in the Midbar, back to Katnas HaRishon?
So, it depends how you're looking at it. Like, Al Pi Kabbalah, every stage has its own katnas and galus. But if you're touching it like Al Pi, like Chassidus, like he was doing before, like, katnas is like a child, like he has a katnas rishon, and then he's like, gets a little bit older, then he has a galus rishon, then a katnas sheni, then a galus sheni. So talk about it like that. So yes, when B'nai Yisrael had a certain hasaga of godless sheni, let's say, a very high godless. By the way, there's also a called a shlishi. It's a katnas shlishi and a godless shlishi, but that doesn't come, has nothing to do with Pesach, that has to do with Shavuos, or Zeichet to what's called the Darga, called Shlishi. What happens is that when B'nai Yisrael said a Ha'asinai, certainly at Taharis al-Adas, they had a certain Hasaga, which through the Chet HaEgel, they lost that. So we still have a Roshim from that, which never goes away, But yeah, if you look at it that way, so the godless which they had, b'shas matat Torah, because of the chet ha'egel, they lost that godless.
You see, what matat Torah is like a hemshech of Pesach, it's like a whole one set of godless.
It's one seder, yeah. It's one seder. Al pi pnimis ha'Torah, it's absolutely one seder. In fact, that's why the Zohar says that Hashem in the Torah mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim 50 times. That's how many times it's mentioned, which corresponds to the 50 days from Pesach to Shavuot. And although the poskim debate if a person misses a night of Sfira, whether or not Sfira, each night of Sfira is independent of each other, in which case it's 50 mitzvahs of Sfira, or it's really one long mitzvah, that's a machlokas ha'poskim. Which so is why say safik brachas, and it makes the whole complications. Of course, elu elu divilikim cha, which are both are incorporated into the halacha. But strictly al pi pnimis haTorah, the Zohar takes a very clear stance that it's only one mitzvah. Because al pi kabbalah, it's one inyan. That's why it's so important not to miss any nights of counting sfira. Because the Zohar says that if a person misses a night of sfira, so he's out. He's out from antar. So be very careful about that. Of course, you know, if a person forgets, that there's still ways to bring him back in. Nobody's ever out for sure, you know, Lagami, but it's just something which a person should Mitzvah Hashem, should remember to count Sfira. The best way I found to count Sfira, to make sure to always to count it, to never miss a night, is to count it a lot during the day. I mean, the tzaddikim can do that. They count Sfira many times. Because in Pnimis, the Inyan is not just to count the Sfira, it's not to forget ever the Sfira. So be makusher to the sphere. That's like in Niglas of Torah, we always focus on like being yoytzi the din. So you could be yoytzi the din sphere by counting it once a night. But you're yoytzi the din, but are you yoytzi the inyan of sphere? I mean, the kavan of Torah, what sphere is all about. So there's a certain, to be yoytzi the inyan of sphere, a person should be makusher to the sphere. So in chitzoni, that would mean like what? You know, every hour to be like, hayom memdalet, hayom memdalet, right? That's very chitzoni, right? Seems to be very chitzonius, but there's a pnimius of that also, that there's an or that the sphere has, that a person who, every time he counts the sphere, the or is mezachichim. Anyways, the whole thing is a chayk. So what am I counting? What is counting about? That's supposed to make a hachana for me from Matan Torah? So obviously, the whole inyan of sphere is much deeper than what we realize, if that's considered to be the Torah's hachana from Matan Torah. But we know that every sphere corresponds to a sphere, right?
Called sphere.
That's why it's called a sphere, right? Like I always say that, when it comes to the whole year, nobody's a Kabbalist. When it comes to Pesach to Shavuos, everybody's a Mekubal, right? You read the L'Shem Yichud, everybody says L'Shem Yichud, everybody says the Sfira, Teferes Shabahoyed, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says Ana B'Koyach, and the Mizmor of the Menorah, right? Everybody's a Kabbalist during a Aseres Mitzvah. Because you're dealing with Sfira, how else do you explain this? What is this, counting? Everybody knows that this is not regular. It's not regular counting. It has to be something much more than that. But notice that you only become a Kabbalist after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim takes a person to a whole new world. That world between Pesach and Shavuos is a very unique time period.
What's our point with regards to a very large R? That the R itself has the ability to move the sack and the keli. Whereas the keli is not necessarily ready to mekabel the R. That the R is mashpia so much that it gets the kli ready.
Talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim or Sphere?
I'm talking about, over here, we're just talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That Hashem changed the rules.
Uh-huh.
So how's it possible? I mean, if there's such a huge R coming down,
mm-hmm.
Minnesota wasn't ready.
They weren't Mekabal, though. They didn't have Kalim. They weren't Mekabal. That's why it came down to do a Tachlis. The Tachlis was to break Klipas Mitzrayim. It wasn't so that Minnesota should be Mekabal, because we didn't have the Kalim to Mekabal. It came for the purpose of breaking Klipas Mitzrayim. And then each night of Sphere, we create Kalim. But it wasn't for the purpose of that.
But how did it affect Klal Yisrael at the time?
Since they were in Mitzrayim and the Or came down and they were present at that time, so it had like a spiritual effect, not by coming in direct contact, but just by being in the proximity of it.
Well, didn't it remove the Kliba?
Huh?
Didn't it remove?
No, but he was asking how there was a Nogia to Klal Yisrael. So it broke Mitzrayim. That was the direct contact. But because the Bnei Yisrael were present in Mitzrayim at the time that it was there, it's like a tzaddik baleir. So then, you know, tzaddik has an effect on everybody when it comes to the city. You know, if tzaddik leaves the city, so pana ziva, pana hoida, pana hadara, so everybody's affected by it.
Is there marav not in the
We're gonna conclude the shiur now. We're gonna mind as well. Yeah. Okay. So we didn't get very far, but again, there's a lot of inyanim and there's much more to speak about. So Mirtz Hashem, hopefully next week we can either continue or do something else. But we should be zeichet to all the iris of Yontif into a true Yitzchus Mitzrayim in our lives.